to your presence. And we thank you that you have made a place for us. We thank you that you have ears for us. And we thank you that this day, the word will just saturate us today. Today, as the word goes forth, it'll saturate us. It'll go penetrate into our hearts. And it'll just throw out the junk, shine light, and we will be transformed and sent our merry way. In Jesus' name, amen. Sounds like one of my kids' prayers downstairs, but, you know, whatever. Here we go. All right, here we go. Real quick, I want you to do something. I want you to turn to the person to your right, turn to the left, in a moment, and I want you to say, how's your dirt? Go ahead, ask them. How's your dirt? How's your dirt? Okay. Now, that's usually not a question we ask at church, is it? That's not really the top things we ask at church. We ask, you know, how you feeling? How's your wife? How's your kids? Can I pray for you? But the title of my message, so you have a purple sheet, the title of the series, let me say the series is called How's Your Dirt? How's Your Dirt? So you want to write that down. Anybody need a piece of paper? Paper, okay. How's your dirt? D-I-R-T. Was that Jersey or something? I thought I said dirt, right? Dirt. How's your dirt? Okay. So we're starting a new series called How's Your Dirt? And we're going to talk about some things that Jesus talked about. And if Jesus talked about it, it's significant, it's important, right? It's significant and it's important. So we're going to talk about it. And this series basically is going to help you. It's going to help you. So how many need some help in your life? How many raise your hand and go, Pastor D? How about this series is going to help you be better at doing life. And I need to do life better. So this series is going to help me do life better. It's going to help you do life better. You know, when I cock up these ideas and concoct in my head, you know, really I pray, Lord, what series we should do? I always look at it through our vision, and our vision is to gather, to grow, and to go. So we gather together to worship, we gather together to one anothering, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen online to last week's service, okay? Because you're going to miss our vision, all right? So we gather to worship and we gather to one another. We also gather together. We get together here to grow, right? When we come, our vision is to grow. We grow with our relationship with the Lord God. We grow through the Word of God. We grow, all right? And the last part is we go to those who are far from Christ, those that need encouragement, those that are hurting. We go. So when I look at this series, I'm like, good, we're going to grow at how to be better in doing life. So this series is all about our vision on growing. Now, the crazy thing about growing, it's not always fun sometimes, right, when you're growing. I remember my kids, someone like in the middle of the night getting up and they're going, my legs hurt. And you know what grammys always say? Ah, those are just growing pains, right? Anybody ever hear that before? Yeah, those are growing pains. But when we're growing with the word, it's sometimes not fun. So look at your neighbor and smile and say, yeehaw, we're going to grow. We are going to grow. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah. Okay, so the new series is called How's Your Dirt? And we're going to be talking again about some things that we have to do in order to be better in our life, better with people in our life, better in just enjoying the abundant life. Praise God. So grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Open up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. The background on Mark chapter 4 is Jesus is telling a parable or a story. How many of you love to tell stories? My Phil Cashman was the best storyteller. That man could tell stories, just captivate you and make you laugh. And he's laughing on the floor. But Jesus, this is not one of those laughing stories. Jesus is going to tell a story or a parable here, and it's all about dirt. Everybody say dirt. All right. And so if you're a farmer, you're going to understand this a whole lot better. If you're a gardener or one of those green thumb people, you are going to understand this story a whole lot better. If you're one of those that kills everything in your house, you're going to understand this a whole lot better. It doesn't matter. We're going to go through this, and you're going to understand dirt a whole lot better. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm reading out of a different translation, and people corner me every once in a while. Pastor D, why do you always pick different translations? Because, number one, I don't read out of the King James. It's interesting, though. I probably, way back in the day, did, and I've memorized, gotten words in my heart through that. But when I'm reading for me to get understanding, I just go through a whole bunch of translations, and I try to find one that just brings a whole bunch of light so I can understand it. So I got a new one for you. Never read out of this one before. It's called the New Life Version. Write it down if you ever get a chance to get it. It is just opens up so easy. Okay, New Life Version. So here we go. I'm going to start with verse 1. So we're reading Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Excuse me, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And Jesus began to teach by the seashore. Many people gathered around him. There were so many, he had to get into a boat and sit down. The people were on the shore. So we got Jesus in a boat, right? And all the people are on the seashore doing what? Listening. All right. Let's go to verse 2 through 8. Here we go. He taught them many things using picture stories, parable stories, right? He taught them many things using picture stories. As he taught, he said, "Listen, a man went out to plant seed." Underline seed if you've got a different translation. He planted the seed. Some fell by the side of the road. The birds came and ate them. Some fell among rocks. It came up at once because there was so little ground. But it dried up when the sun was high in the sky because it had no root. Some fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it did not give the seed room to grow. This seed gave no gain. Some fell on good ground. It came up, and it grew, and it gave much gain. Some gave 30 times as much, some 60 times as much, some 100 times as much. Okay. How many of you have heard this before? Praise the Lord. Good, good. So basically, he's talking about four different kinds of dirt, right? Did everybody count four? Four different kinds of dirt. And dirt is referring to ground or your heart. Okay? So you're taking notes. Write it down. Dirt is referring to the ground or your heart. Now, this time he's not talking about this heart here that goes lub-dub, 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 and you're breathing. He's not talking about a physical heart, guys. He's talking about your spiritual heart. And actually, you know this. We are a three-part being. We are really a spirit. We have a mind, a soul, a mind, will, and emotion, soul, and we live in a body. All right. Right here, he's talking about the spiritual body, the spiritual heart. He's going to talk about the spiritual heart. Okay. And he calls it ground. We're calling it dirt. Everybody say dirt. Praise the Lord. Dirt. Right. Now, there's four kinds of dirt here, but three of them aren't good. Three of them aren't good. So, Miss Shirley, if you came up and said, I'm dirt number two, I'm doing really good, I'd say, no, ma'am. Wrong answer. Okay? No, there's only one kind of dirt that's good. There's only one kind of ground that's good. And my desire today is to help you with your dirt. Help you with your ground on how to make it better. So, and by the way, I can't do it, but we're going to go over the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go over this the next 4 weeks, and please don't miss it. It's a building thing, and we're going to get to the last one the last week, so praise the Lord. Here we go. I've had people, I kind of do little surveys when I'm going to do a series for months ahead of time. I'll ask people, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Just kind of give me a feel where people's heads are at. So I was telling somebody I was going to teach on dirt and the four different kinds, and they said, I don't really care. People are so sweet, aren't they? Oh, let me tell you about sweet people. Okay, don't go there, Pastor D. So they said, I really don't care about this. I don't care about my dirt. And I thought, dear Jesus, you need to care about your dirt, your ground, your heart. Because every time you read the word, right? You spend time like you should in here. Every time you hear me preach or you listen to a podcast or you go to a grow group where you're studying the word, every time you do that, it affects how receptive you are and how things are going to grow in your life. So you ought to care about your dirt, right? You ought to care about your dirt. So we're going to talk about dirt. And the thing about dirt is we have to do some things about our dirt, our heart. We have to do some things, okay? And Jesus never said, hey, praise the Lord, you've asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of life. You can go sit on the Easy Boy recliner and you don't have to do anything. Just sit there. He never said that. He's actually, and we're going to go through this, he says, you have to do some things with your life, your heart, your dirt, okay? We have to do some things. So the title of this message, because it has to do with dirt, is called Guarded. Guarded, or guard it, okay? So you can write that down. And we're going to talk about that we have a heart, we have dirt. And Jesus says, we have to do something. And he says, really specific, and we're going to dig into the word. He says, you have to guard your heart, your dirt. You have to guard your dirt, all right? Now, everybody say, guard it. You need to guard it, all righty? A lot of people have done different things with their heart, their dirt, where they have actually exposed their heart to some not good stuff. I was just talking with Miss Pat in the back about some things where I'm going to guard my heart, okay? But Jesus says, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to guard your heart, okay? And he doesn't want you getting junk in your heart. God loves you. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to expose it to stuff and just get all messed up. So we just read Mark chapter 1 through 8, going back to that, and the disciples were there, right? They had a whole crowd of people, and the disciples were there. And the disciples go, Jesus, I don't really understand what you said. So he's going to go interpret what he just said. And we're going to start in verse 9. Where is it? Pastor D, where'd you put it? Verse 9 through 12. Here we go. Then he said to them, you have ears? Then listen. Those who were with Jesus and the 12 followers came to him and said, when he was alone, and they asked him about this whole picture story, this parable. And he said to them, you were given the secrets about the holy nation of God, or about the kingdom of God. Okay, you were given, the Hebrew people, the children, you were given the secrets about the kingdom of God. All right, everything is told in picture stories to those who are outside. Have you ever been in the clique on the inside? Anybody like being on the outside? Well, he's talking about the outside. He says, everything was told to you all who were on the inside, but those outsides, they didn't get it. So they, verse 12, they see, but they don't know what it means. They hear, but they don't understand. If they did, they might turn to God and have their sins forgiven. All right. Jesus, while he walked on the earth, is really still walking in old covenant until he dies and goes to heaven, right? So he's walking and talking to them old covenant, and they get it. But the great part is there was the clique, and then there are the guys that were out. Well, since Jesus has died and he rose again and he's seated in heaven, it's this good news, this kingdom's for everybody. It's for everybody. It doesn't exclude anybody. God wants Jesus, and God wants everybody to receive Jesus, receive the forgiveness of sins. So aren't you glad of that? Because I'm not a Jew. I would have been on the out. All right? So aren't you glad? Praise God. I'm really glad that this now includes me. All right. A little off course. Here we go. Verse 13. Verse 13, here we go. Jesus said to them, remember, he's telling them what he was talking about because it was just like over their head. Jesus said to them, you do not understand this picture story. Then how in the world, or how will you understand any of the picture stories? All right, praise the Lord. So Jesus is coming up to them and he says, Listen, guys, this story that I just told you is the most important story of all the parables and all the picture stories I'm ever going to tell. This is the most important one. Right? So I'm sitting here thinking, man, I think I better figure this one out. And actually, it just went off like lightning this morning as I was just going over this. This is like the cornerstone story for all of the New Testament and how we live our life. This is so important. Okay, this story that we're going to dig into is the most important thing than how we apply the good news, the gospel, the word of God into our life. So we ought to go, whoa, baby, I think I want to understand this one. This is the one I want to get. If you get this one, the rest ones are just a piece of cake. Alrighty. So, verse 14. What the man plants is the word of God. All right? What the man plants is the word of God. So the word of God, he's saying, is the seed. Right? The word of God is the seed. So if I were to give a subtitle, write this down. Here we go. It's not really about the seed, guys. It's really about the dirt. It's not really about the seed. Some of you are going, I'll explain in a minute. Hang on there. It's about dirt. Okay, think about this. We're dirt. Piece of dirt. We're ground, okay? We're the ground. We're the dirt, okay? And the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is an incorruptible seed. That means it's not messed up. It's not corrupted. This is not corrupted, right? The word, the seed is not messed up. It doesn't have any faults in it. One time years ago, Jack bought me some ruby earrings. They're just little specks. And then one of them popped out. I was able to go to the jeweler. And I thought the man spent $1 million on those things, which I usually get ticked off because he'd spend money where I don't spend that money. So the guy says, oh, these all have fractures. They have cracks all through them. They're just glued together. Okay, it was corrupted, right? I still wear them. I think they're amazing, beautiful, even if they're glued together. Okay, I don't have them on today. I should have worn them today. It would kind of match. They're rubies or something like that. But listen, back on target. This seed is not corrupted, right? The seed's not corrupted, okay? So really, the seed is not the problem. The word of God is never the problem, okay, but the dirt. The dirt can be the problem, right? My ground, my heart can be the problem. And we can do better with the dirt. We don't have to do better with the word, right? You don't do better. It's already better. It's the better. It's the best, okay? But the dirt, we can do better. Everybody say, I can do better. Okay. We can do a better job with our dirt, our soil, our heart, right? Amen. You ought to write that down. I'm going to do better with my dirt. Okay. Verse 15, you don't have to write that. Verse 15, here we go. Those by the side of the road are the ones who hear the word. As soon as they hear it, the devil comes and takes away the word that is planted in their hearts. Okay. Have you ever felt like the devil just kind of snatched something out of you? I don't know how many times the time we left this building, drove home, we would have an argument. Anybody ever have arguments before you even make it home after a church service with the anointed word of God and just power and glory? I'm not looking at anybody. Don't raise your hand. Okay, listen. The devil doesn't come with a little pitchfork, right? He doesn't. He comes with Mr. Carl Christian, okay, who says, you don't believe any of that stuff, do you? Right? The devil comes and he uses people. He uses people and they'll say, oh, I know you believe in healing, but really, come on. God doesn't heal anymore. Okay, that's how the devil tries to steal the word out of you. He uses people, right? Don't point at anybody, okay? He uses people. And listen, really, there's tons of different ways he does it. But really, it starts the moment you start doubting this. The moment you start doubting the word, Satan's stealing it out of you, okay? So write down in your notes, doubt, doubt, okay? Here, examples. Let me think. This isn't going to work in my life. This stuff doesn't work in my life. You know, God's not going to be able to turn my family around. They're all living like, rah, rah, rah. Or my marriage is never going to get any better. That's Satan stealing by putting doubt in the word of God. You start doubting this word of God. All right? So that's how Satan steals. Let's go on to verse 16. I think I got that one here. The enemy steals. He's trying to get the word not to be planted in your life. Praise the Lord. Verse 16 and 17. The seed that fell among rocks is like people who receive the word with joy. Woohoo! They hear it. Their roots are not deep, so they live only a short time. So the word, like I'm spouting out the word, is planted, but it's not going to live long. And we're going to go by reasons, okay? Let's continue. When sorrow and trouble comes because of the word, they give up and fall away. The seed that was planted among thorns is like some people, who listen to the word, but the cares of this life let thorns come up. A love for riches and always wanting other things lets thorns grow. These things do not give the word room to grow, so it does not give grain or doesn't multiply. Verse 20, best part, ready? The seed that fell on the good ground is like people who hear the word and understand it. We're going to talk about that in a moment. They give much grain, some 30 times as much, some 60 times as much grain, and some 100 times as much grain. Okay, so y'all, anybody hear this taught before, right? I want to say one thing, and then we're going to go on this. I just want to clarify one thing. Jesus is talking to a group of people. Put your seatbelts on. And he's not talking about money. Listen, I've heard it taught 100 times, and you've got to listen to this. He's not talking about money, but this principle will work with money. There's a principle here. But right here, you know, Jesus is talking to a group of people, and he's talking about the word of God getting planted inside you, right? Isn't that what you just heard? He's talking about the word of God getting planted in your heart. He's talking about the word of God producing fruit in your life. He's talking about the word just producing. But he's not talking about money here. But, I like buts, but it will work. And it's worked in my life too, okay? Now, interesting, the people that Jesus was talking to there in that time that lived when Jesus lived, Bible scholars and historians, listen to what they said. The average person there, listen to this, only got a tenfold return on the things that they planted in the ground. Everybody say tenfold. Okay, now, what did Jesus say? Okay, Jesus said, they heard Jesus, they're listening to Jesus. They're probably like, and then all of a sudden he says, some 30, some 60, some 100. And right then, I'm pretty sure their ears just perked up. What? 30, 60, 100? Okay, because back then, listen, they didn't have John Deere and whatever. They're just throwing seed in the soil. So they had a 10% return. So he pretty much got their attention here. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you can get 10% with natural things, wait a minute, buddy. Wait till you hear about the word of God and referring to godly principles, the kingdom principles. Ha, ha, ha. So listen, if you plant the word, and into your heart, and you do the things that you need to do, like water it and put it in the sun, it will produce some 30, some 60, 100. I'm pretty sure he's got their attention, right? Now, you guys have just heard it over and over and over, and you're like, yeah. But listen, guys, Think on this. Think on this. Okay. So Jesus is saying, if you can get the word planted into your heart, planted into your dirt, and you do the right things, it will produce. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said it will produce. We were singing a song. He's faithful. He's faithful to do it again. How can we sing a song like that? It has to do with this word stuff here. Okay. Again, you have to do some things. You have to plant this word, okay, into your life in order for it to produce. Okay. All right, so the title of this message, I'm all over the place. No, I'm not. I know exactly what I'm doing. Title of this message is called Guarding It. You all wrote it down. Thank you, those that wrote it down. Guarding It. Okay. Now, how many of you have ever seen something guarded or someone guarded? Anybody? Okay. Gosh, you know, I was telling one of my kids, I haven't been down to D.C., gosh, since Joy lived down there, and we would love to go to the museum. So we went to, I'm pretty sure it's the Museum of Natural History with the Hope Diamond. Is that the one that has the Hope Diamond? They got that baby guarded, right? They got that baby guarded. And then we were in Paris. What's that has the Mona Lisa? Is that the Louvre? The Louvre. Okay, that is the coolest museum. Y'all should go there tomorrow. So I am so excited. I'm going to see the Mona Lisa, the Mona Lisa, the Mona Lisa. When are we going to see the Mona Lisa? Forget this other stuff. I want to see the Mona Lisa. We go to the Mona Lisa. This baby is only this big. But I want to tell you something. That thing's guarded. It's guarded, right? Okay. Last year, I have my mom's side. My mom is from California, and all her relatives are out there. And I was on Facebook with my cousin Johnny, who I just adore. And he took his whole family to Europe, and they spent to Italy, and they went to Rome. And they went to see the Vatican City. Anybody? Okay. The Vatican City is the headquarters for the Roman Catholic Church. Write that down for Trivia Pursuit next time, okay? And did you know the Vatican City is its own little country? And who's the leader? That's right, the Pope. And there's only about 1,000 people, right? And they have the Vatican Guard. Okay, by the way, Lane and a bunch of us, anyway, research, not me, I just go pick them out, bought a new projector. So pretty soon I'm going to show you pictures and you'll be able to see them. Right now we can't see pictures because it's not dark enough anyway. But just picture this. The Vatican Guard, who guards about 1,000 people, and the Pope, okay, they're dressed like they came out of the Renaissance fair. They got these gold pajama pants with blue stripes and red, MC Hammer style. I'm not kidding. Go look, not now, put your phones down, go look it up later. And then they got this helmet with this big poofy red feathers. Okay, they look like a bunch of sissies. And I did a little research. You know those guards, the Vatican guards, you know where they are? They're actually Swiss guards. Yeah. And you don't mess with them, they'll take you down. Smash, smash, smash. Okay? They're highly trained. They're actually at the level of our Green Berets. Okay? Now, they may look like sissies, but you just go up and mess with them, baby. Okay. So, we have these guards that protect things. Alrighty? Now, listen. The scripture, the word of God says, is God telling you that you are to guard, protect something. What are you supposed to guard and protect? Your dirt, your heart. Okay? Alrighty? Alrighty? Now, God tells you just to guard and protect really one thing. One thing. He doesn't say, oh, you need to protect this, you need to protect this, you need to protect that. One thing. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Just one thing. You think you can do it? Yes, Pastor D, we can do it. Yes, we can do it. Okay. Now, you look at those Vatican guards, okay, and they look a little sissy, all right? But they're not. How about we become, okay, I hate to say this word, militant, aggressive with guarding this. So important, guys. This is so important. Guarding your heart. Guarding your dirt. Guarding your heart. How about we take this serious? I think we need to. Because listen, I'm talking to Miss Pat over here. I could be mush on the floor if I don't guard this. I have people, all right, Pat, I'm going to go. I have people say the dumbest things to me. And I go, oh, I guard my heart. okay? I refuse to take offense. I'm not going to let them hurt, you know. They say dumb things to me. Can you imagine? Sweet little me. Yep. Okay. So God asks you to guard one thing. What is it? Your heart, alrighty? And the reason why, listen, God knows, he tells you this because there's going to be some stuff that's going to try to get in here and mess you up. Okay? There's going to be stuff that's going to try to mess you up. Right? Alrighty? And we're supposed to protect it. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4. Let me ask you a question again. Whose responsibility is it to guard your heart? God or you? Okay. You guys, gold star. Okay. But if I could tell you how many times people toss this blessed word at me. Well, God's sovereign. Sovereign. And I was like, no. They'll go, well, you know, Pastor D, God's sovereign. If he wants to protect my heart, he can protect it because God's sovereign. Guys, God is sovereign to his word. That's who he's sovereign to, okay? And he's sovereign to the word. And if he told you in his word to protect your heart, guess who has to protect it? You do, right? Okay. So here's the question. Is it God's job to protect your heart or your job? That's right. He asked you to do it, you do it. He asked you to do it. Write on your notes. I will guard my heart. I will guard my heart. And guys, if I could protect your heart, I'd be running around trying to protect your heart. Okay, I would. I can't protect your heart. I can only protect my heart. All right? And you are the one responsible to protect your heart. Now, spouses have a nice reminder system going on. But bottom dollar, it's you that need to guard your heart. It's you that need to protect your heart. Okay, so you can't blame it on your spouse. All righty. I'm not lost. We will get to Proverbs 4. But write this down. 2 Peter 2. I'm just going to tell it. Okay. 2 Peter 2 is it's about Lot. Does anybody know about Lot? Lot was Abraham's brother or cousin, nephew. I forgot. Brother. Yeah. Nephew. I'm going through my stories. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and in 2 Peter 2, God says something about Lot. He said Lot was a righteous man. Okay? So God thought pretty highly of Lot. And it says Lot was vexed in his soul, mind, will, and emotions, by what he saw and by what he heard. Write that down. Lot was vexed in his soul. Soul, our mind. You can get, I was going to say a word. You can get dumb in your mind. You can be vexed in your mind and your soul, okay? Vexed. Vexed means, I wrote this down, to be worn down over and over and over. To be harassed over and over and over. To be, what was my other one? It was so good. Distressed. So Lot was worn down over and over and over by what he saw and by what he heard. Okay? Listen to the Message Bible. It says, that good man Lot, driven nearly out of his mind by the sexual filth and perversity that he saw. Okay. He got a problem going on there, right? How many of you know that we have social media and it's just crazy? It's crazy. It's not a compliment. All right? It's just crazy. We have it constantly on you, right? Social media, all the different things. Okay? Now when I grew up, we just had radio and TV. And I remember when we got a color TV. That's how young I am, all right? But now you've got radio, TV, movies, Netflix, Twitter, Facebook, pods, and YouTubes. I don't even know how to do what an MP3 thing is. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it, okay? But listen, social media is constantly on us. You're laughing, Cheryl. I don't even know what this stuff is, okay? Social media is constantly on us, okay? And so much so, there are people sitting here in church, and you get distracted. I got 5 likes. And you just tune Pastor D out. But you always say, Pastor D, I'm following on my Bible app. Yeah, And then you get oppressed and depressed because somebody didn't like you. Or the ultimate, they unfriended. befriended you. Oh, I'm depressed. Okay? Listen, God tells us that we are to watch out, guard this heart. Okay? Guard it. And people make ridiculous things. Oh my gosh, during the elections, I unfriended some people. Sherry said, I'm not supposed to do that. I didn't know you could press this so you could, they not know this, okay? But they're just, you know, people say yucky things, not nice things on social media, right? And then I got the people that are in my face that tell me not nice things, okay? So we are to we are to try to watch out and guard our heart. Amen? That's what God commanded us to do, okay? And the reason why you better guard your heart, because if you don't, you will start doubting the word of God. You'll doubt God's promises to you. You'll doubt everything that God says about you and what he wants to do in your life. So guard your heart. Watch out for your heart. Watch your dirt. Okay. Praise the Lord. Proverbs. You got there. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. Proverbs 4 verse 20 to about 23. Ready? Here we go. My son. Okay. Write your name on that. That's you. D, daughter of God, or the Most High God. Read this word like it's written to you, because it is written to you. All right? So, D, my daughter, pay attention. I can just get, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn and open your ears and to my sayings. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, next one. And do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your dirt. Center of your heart. Keep these words in the center. Keep hearing them. Keep seeing them. Keep saying them. Keep them in the center. Okay? So, he's talking about dirt. He's talking about your heart. And you have to do some things here. By the way, didn't that sound like Mark chapter 4? Didn't that sound like Mark chapter 4 there? It sure did. Okay. Verse 22. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. Guys, it doesn't say they're like healing. It doesn't say they're like, you know, healing and health. It doesn't say that. What does it say? They are. This is life and healing to all your flesh. Okay? Top of the head. Top all the way down. Alrighty. So, every time you read this, okay, every time you get to listen to me preach the word of God, every time you pop in a podcast or whatever all that stuff is, alright? Every time you do that, the word has the potential to have life and health and healing to you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Right? That's great news, isn't it? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, verse 23. Watch over. I've lost my... Watch over your what? Oh, your... Is it heart? Yeah. Watch over Netflix? No, no, no. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Okay, another translation, it's the word, God's word translation. It says, guard your heart more than anything else because it's the source of life flows from it. The source of life flows from your heart. The source of life flows from your heart. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, so everything flows out of here, right? Everything flows out of your spiritual heart and you need to guard it, all right? Now, what did he tell you to do with it? Guard it. Guard it with everything of your ability. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Now, some people have criticized and said this is a little extreme. But just recently I had a friend, a loved one in the hospital, and it was not looking so good. Okay, the doctor's reports weren't looking so good. And the husband and wife, concerning the it was a relative, said, we're not letting anybody in unless you're going to speak good words. Now, you might think that's extreme, but if flows out, you know, I would be making sure that these things are spoken and they are coming out, coming out, coming out over you, instead of somebody walking in and say, man, They look mighty poor. Don't look they're going to make it till the nighttime. I was like, get out of here. Okay. So I can, just something to think about. As I say, just saying, something to think about. Okay, just saying. Anyway, hallelujah. You know, guys, I don't know about you, but I had a week that's just busy. Anybody have busy weeks? Like there's 24 hours on the hours, and I'm like, I need about 36. What's going on, God? I need 36 hours to get everything done, okay? And, you know, we run through life. We run through life, run. Then we run home. You know, we run home, and you just, and you put Netflix on, and you just start chilling. You don't think I know what that means. I do. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your chilling. Okay. Listen, God doesn't want you to do it that way. It's okay to watch Netflix. I watched Pete's Dragon. It was really pretty poor. I was like, I could have written that thing in 30 minutes, but that's my speed, okay? So listen, God wants us to live a certain way. He does. He's really very specific on how we live. And the one thing he tells you, guard your heart, okay? Guard your heart. All right. How many have heard somebody say, oh, they have a bad heart? Somebody has a good heart. Have you ever heard people say that? I have. Okay, good heart. I wrote down a bunch of them. Here we go. Oh, they're so sweet. They have such a giving heart. That's a good heart, right? How about this one? They have such a sensitive heart in a good way, especially kids. Oh, I love little kids. I love their little hearts. They're just so sweet. Okay, soft heart, a receiving heart. Those are all kind of good hearts. Okay, right? You all heard some things like that? How about bad hearts? Okay, they have a hard heart. Man. They have a hard heart, all right? Or they have a broken heart. That's not a good thing, right? It's not a good thing. Oh, they have a wicked heart. Anybody say that about somebody? Okay, a damaged heart. Okay, so we've all heard that. Good hearts, bad hearts, right? My goal here is to get you, I don't care what kind of heart you have, is kind to get you to the kind of heart that Jesus talks about. That's the last one, a good heart, good ground. That's the whole goal of this whole series we're going to do, is how to get you. So if you're one of those not so good hearts, that's okay. Come on, stick with me. Come every week, and we're going to talk about how to get our hearts to good hearts, because then they really produce some 30, some 60, some 100. Praise the Lord. Write this down. Praise the Lord. It says, the maintenance of your heart. The maintenance of your heart. The maintenance of your heart is more important than anything else. I get these little notes from the doctors, you know. It's time for your yeah checkup. Like, but that's maintenance, really. Okay, now to get another one. You know, it's time to have this thing checked. I'm like, yeah. But listen, guys, the maintenance of your heart, your dirt, is more important. By the way, I do all those checkups, all right? So you have to maintain this heart, all righty? How many of you know that you have to maintain your car? If you don't, you better have some money in your pocket. I'll never forget, years and years ago, Diane Siegel was telling me about her youngest daughter. They got a phone call. Meg called them up. Mom, the lights went off and the car won't move anymore. They fried the engine. She didn't know. She's supposed to put oil in that thing. Uh-huh. Okay. The maintenance of your heart is really important. How many of you know that you have to maintain airplanes? Yep. Yepers. And I didn't know any of that. I just thought, you know, the in and out flying around until Jack owned that Cessna 180. And they have rules. Like, you have to. And I... don't quote me on this, but I thought it was every 3,000 miles, you have to have that engine yanked out and overhauled. Cha-ching. Okay? But if you don't maintain those engines, they fall from the sky. Yeah. We don't want that to happen. So you have to maintain airplanes, right? Okay? Listen, we don't have little lights that come on. Add oil, Pastor D, add oil. Okay? To my dirt, to my heart. But I can tell you there are some signs. You're mean all the time. You're angry. I'm so frustrated all the time. I get mad, I'm so frustrated. Okay. Those are the lights to say, need to add oil. You need to add water. All right? You need to add some things. You need to maintain this heart. And in case you don't know, your spouse will tell you when it's time. All right? They'll tell you, baby. All right? You need to do some things with your heart. You are the one to maintain this heart. Amen. Okay, go back to Mark chapter 4. We're going to hop over there. Verses 3 and 4. Here we go. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, listen, a man went out to plant seed. As he planted the seed, some fell by the side of the road, and the birds came and ate them. All right. So Jesus is saying something here. Let me get my little bag of seeds. Here we go. Jesus is saying something here. He said this seed was not intentionally put there. Okay, I'm going to read it again. A man went out to plant seed, and he planted seed. Some fell by the side of the road, okay? So if you study this out, this side of the road really was a path that people walked on all the time. They walked on it all the time. And guess what happened to this dirt that was walked on all the time? Hard in them parts, okay? All right? So, and so the seed would just happen to be thrown, you know, a little bit of here, a little bit of there, on this hard path, this hard soil. And it became hard. So, interesting is, I got hair in my mouth. Golly gee whiz, here we go. What happens if you put seed on hard ground? Nothing. That wasn't hard. Okay, nothing. Nothing's going to happen to it. Especially, it's August in York County, and it hasn't rained in weeks, and the ground's all dried up, okay? And you know, I'm throwing some seed there. You're going to come back next week and go, oh, look, it grew. No, you're not. Nothing's going to grow there, right? Nothing's going to grow there. So, this is my pot of geraniums from last year. I just leave them out all year round, okay? I left them out. They died, okay? They've been sitting on my little hook thing out of by my garage. This dirt is hard, okay? It's dried up. It's cracked, all right? So if I think I'm going to do this, I'm going to put a whole bunch of seeds. I'm just going to toss them in there, okay? We come back next week, and the next week, guess what? Nothing. Nothing. But you put some seed in some good soil, right? And you water it with the word of God. Put it in sun. You can come back. I don't want to knock this over because I am going to plant another one here. Okay. It's going to grow. All righty? Okay. So what happens if you plant seed in good ground? It's going to grow some 30, some 60, some 100. Praise God. Okay, back to verse 14 and 15. Ready? What the man plants is the word of God. Those by the side of the road are the ones who hear the word. As soon as they hear it, the devil comes and takes away the word that is planted in their hearts. All righty? Doesn't that sound like another scripture you know? John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? The same guy. The thing that he's trying to steal is the word getting planted in your heart. The thing that Satan's trying to, you got an enemy. The thing that the enemy's trying to steal is the word planted in your heart. So, if you come here every week and you listen to me throw seed at you, I'm going to throw seed at you. I was thinking of doing that, but we cleaned really nice, so I wasn't going to do that. Okay? This is serious when you come and you hear, because the word has the ability to get planted in your life and it'll produce. So, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, we need more word. Okay, I've been to different services. Occasionally I get out of town and I go to services. And I went to this one service and the pastor shared one scripture once. But man, he was good. He's real, you know, okay. But I'm sitting here thinking, and I used to feel like I have to guard my heart, start feeling dumb, getting doubt from Satan. I'm going to put more word out. Because the more seed has the ability to produce in your life some 30, some 60, some 100. Okay. Now, some of you get distracted. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding. Some of you get distracted. You know, it's like follow along. And next thing you know, you're texting with your friend where we're going to have lunch. You know, I know. Because all of a sudden you're like this. And it doesn't take that long to write your notes. I know what you're doing, okay? So you get distracted, okay? And we get distracted in a lot of things in life, okay? We get distracted in life. But when you're distracted, then the word doesn't get planted, right? It's not going to get planted. You're distracted. You're not hearing anything, okay? When it gets planted, the only way it's going to produce is if you hear it. You have to hear it, not get distracted. So I'm spouting seed all over the place, but you've got to hear it. Okay, in order for it to get planted in the ground. And then it has to get planted in the right kind of ground. Soft ground in order to produce. Praise God. Look over at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is the same parable, the same story. It's just in a different location. Okay? So a lot of times you'll go through the Gospels and you're like, hey, I think I read that over in Luke. Yeah, you did. Okay, so this one here, I want you to read here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom or the word of God and does not grasp it, does not comprehend it, does not understand it, the evil one, the devil, the enemy, comes and snatches it away. Comes and snatches away as soon as it was sown in his heart. This is what's sown on the roadside. Okay. Jesus makes this so simple. This is so simple. And he's simply saying, hey, listen. The only way that Satan's going to steal the word is if you don't understand it. Pastor D, are you sure you read that? Yeah, let me read this again. While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and doesn't grasp it, comprehend it, understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. So the only way Satan's going to steal something from you is if you don't understand it. Talk about put a little pressure on your rear end, huh? Yeah. Okay. Listen to this. Well, Pastor D, I never understand anything you say. Are you for real? I taught children's ministry for 30 years. 30 years. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you guys, I get it really simple. I have people complain. It wasn't really deep. No, it's simple. I guarantee you come to YCF, you will walk out of here understanding, right? And besides, see this Bible in my hands? They say, the old studies, this is written on a fourth grade level. Anybody graduate fourth grade? That means you can understand this. You can understand this. Now, sometimes I have to read it. A lot of times I have to read it over and over and over, okay? But you can understand this, okay? So, when I share this word, I'm telling you something, you will understand it. You'll understand it. And Jesus says, if you understand the word, then the devil can't steal it. The devil can't steal it. Okay, turn over to Jeremiah 15. No, Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah 3:15. If not, they'll pop it up there. All right. I never turn around. They just say, yep, they got it up there. All right. So whether they're putting that up there, listen. I love these people that say, well, Pastor E, I don't understand what I read. I quit. I'm never going to read my Bible again. I go, why don't you be fighters like the Vatican guards and our SEALs and stuff like that? And just maybe you're going to have to read it a couple of times. How many of you have read your Bible more than once? Okay, I have to read it more. I've been reading it. And okay, we'll go there. Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you spiritual shepherds, a.k.a. pastors, okay? After my own heart in the final times, like the days we're living right now, who will feed you with knowledge, understanding, and judgment. So you know what that tells me? My job is to throw seeds, feed you with knowledge, understanding, and judgment. Okay, judgment means I study and I rightly divide the word and then I spit it out at you guys, okay? And then I give you knowledge and understanding. That's my job, okay? So I love these people that walk out of church and go, man, that was so deep. I didn't understand a thing. I'm like, that's not what church is supposed to be like. You should walk out understanding. You better walk out with understanding, okay? So as a pastor, guys, I have a responsibility, okay? but you do too. Look over at Daniel, and he'll tell you, not me. Daniel, chapter 10, verse 12. This is your responsibility. You have a responsibility. That was my responsibility. Daniel chapter 12. Now, again, this is Old Testament, but it still applies to us today. All right? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, okay, so this is Daniel. He's fasting and praying, and an angel comes to him, talks to him. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, from the first day you set your mind and your heart." That was you. Set your mind and your heart to do what? To understand. Okay, and then he goes on and says, to humble yourself before God, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Guys, you know what this told me? You have a responsibility. I'm chucking out seed, but you have a responsibility to set your mind and your heart to understand this. It's not in one ear and out one ear. You have to set your mind to understand it, okay? So it's really interesting these days. I was having a conversation with a person, and they said, "Hey, you know, I've been doing this paleo diet." I go, "What? Come on, Google, what's paleo diet? Or else you're in front of your laptop." Okay, and you want to know what a paleo diet is? I got to write it down, so cool. The voice said, "Paleo diet is eating like a caveman. You eat anything, you hunt, you gather meat, fish, nuts, leafy greens, regional veggies, and seeds. Sorry, no pasta, no cereal, no candy." That's what they talked to me and said that. Okay? We don't live in a generation that's clueless, right? We have so much available, all righty? We do. And listen, when I was growing up way back in the dark ages, I remember my parents bought the Encyclopedia Juniors, the Junior Encyclopedia Britannica, that's what it was, right? Anybody? You don't even know what that is, some of you youngins, okay? And then when we got older, they bought the Big Person's Encyclopedia Britannica, and it filled up two shelves. And I loved when they came, because we'd go flipping through the pages and the pictures. The pictures were amazing. I'm not sure I read anything, but we'd just go there. The guys, I wouldn't do that now. Actually, I got rid of them a couple years ago. I carted my dad's house here, and then I was like, what am I doing? All right, got rid of them. And by the way, they're really hard to get rid of. Okay, so they are, and I won't tell you where they were, but anyway, I wouldn't do that. Now I go to my phone, Google, what's paleo diet? Or sit down on my laptop, right? So you're going to sit here and say, well, I don't understand what I just read. I quit. I'm not reading my Bible. Come on. We're gonna dig. We're going to be like Daniel. Daniel set his mind and his heart to understand. And man, he had an angel show up. That was pretty cool. Okay, so everybody say, I will set my mind and my heart to understand the word. Okay. All right, I'm going to close up. Yep. Oh my gosh, don't look. Don't look. Okay. So Jesus is saying the word is stolen out of our hearts by hard ground. Okay. And it's stolen because we don't understand it. Bottom dollar, whole message. So the Apostle Paul knew this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul knew this, and he told you how you can help, how you can get some help. Okay. Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 19. Okay. So if I intentionally throw seed at you, speak the word, and every day you're listening to it, right? And you're gathering in groups and you're studying it. All you have to do is make sure you understand it. That's it. Okay. And then it will produce some 30, some 60, and 100. Okay. Now, Paul is saying here, there are times I don't understand what I read. And God gave you... Well, God gave us Paul, who wrote this, and you also have the Holy Spirit, and he said, pray this, pray this, pray this, and actually that's going to be your homework, pray this for the next 4 weeks, and it's Ephesians chapter 1, okay, do they have it up there? Ephesians chapter 1, I lost my place, 17, for I always pray to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom, of revelation, Woohoo! A spirit of wisdom and revelation, which means insight into the mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. Verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart, your spiritual heart, your dirt, okay, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so you can know and understand and understand and understand the hope which He has called you and how rich and glorious is the inheritance of the saints. Verse 19, and so that you can know and understand the immeasurable and unlimited surpassing greatness of His power in you and for you. Oh my gosh. Okay. So Paul's saying, and you should do this every day. You read your Bible just every day and you pray this for yourself. And then you got some dingbats in your family that are just acting like dingbats. And you're like, are you kidding me? Okay. You pray this for them. Pray this for people in your family. How many of you heard of Brother Hagin? Brother Hagin, I think I actually heard him at a seminar say this. He prayed this word, this scripture, Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19, over himself for a whole year. Every day he prayed it. Okay? And then about a year later, Sister Aretha was sitting in one of his services, and afterwards she said, 1 year later, she goes, man, what happened to you? It's like you came out of the rain. In other words, you are out in left field. But man, there is understanding. There is stuff flowing out of you every time you open up the Word of God and speak. Okay? Now, you may not be behind a pulpit, but how about you understand what you're reading, right? So, I'm going to pray this over you. Everybody just close your eyes. By the way, this is your assignment. And I'm going to have Sherry, I'm going to put fill in the blank. So you can go on YCF Facebook and say you like us, get on there, and she's going to put this up here, and you can read this and put your name in, and you got some dumb relatives that are acting all dumb, you pray this over there, dumb, okay, pray this over them, but praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to pray this for you. Okay, I got to close it. Father God, I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding, that you flood our eyes with so much light, Father, that if we're blinded in an area or someone's blinded in the area, all of a sudden light will come and they'll see and they'll know how great you are and the good things you put in us and how great you've called us to be. I pray this over everybody in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, don't look at that clock. I preached myself happy. I had so much fun. Praise the Lord. All right. So long, farewell. Da, 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 da. Okay, y'all are blessed. This word will produce in your life. Okay, so just put it in your life. All right, we're not even going to make a confession. You're blessed. Go have a wonderful, like, where the head, not tail, above, not believe, blessed, going, anybody to God. I love you. If you would like prayer, I've got elders and grow group leaders that will pray the word of God over you. We don't counsel you. We'd love to pray over you. If you got sickness in your body, you got things going.